He's good, isn't he? Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 3. And I've probably taught on this particular subject a lot. Chapter 3. I can say it in Spanish if you want. But listen, I probably taught on this a lot, but it's more real to me today than it's ever been. And it's becoming more and more real to me. And that is, and actually, Steve asked Janine, well, what's baptism? Why do we need to be baptized and all the things? And she led them through that. But I'm more convinced now in the power of water baptism than I've ever been. Because of the symbolization of what it means. It's an actual picture that I was, when he went on the cross, he went on the cross for me. Amen. So I was actually up on the cross, but he was my representative up on the cross, right? And then when he was buried and when I submitted my life and gave my heart to Jesus, I died to myself. Amen. And gave myself to him. So when he was buried, that old man is buried. But then, when he was risen from the dead, I was raised with him. Yeah. Now, this is so important, and get it on the inside, that I'm in Jesus. I'm in Jesus. And Jesus is in me. So when I'm walking around, and when I'm walking on this earth, since I've been saved, I've been walking with Jesus on the inside of me. I'm full of Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that I'm always utilizing what I'm full of, but I'm full of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is the emissary that God uses in us today to reveal all that Jesus did, all that he has. Why? Because as he is in the world, so am I in the world. What does that mean? I'm not saying I'm Jesus, but I'm a part of his body. Yeah. And as a part of his body, I have an absolute job to do while I'm here. But it's not by my strength or my might. It's by my association or identification with who he is. Who is he? Who am I? Well, let me just check. Who is he? Who am I? Well, let me see. Who is he? He's the Son of the Most High God. That's me. Yeah. Right? He's full of the power of God. Yeah, that's right. That's me. He hears the voice of God. Yeah, that's right. That's me. Because of my identification in him. So let's look at this story. That's just getting started. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Now, they were part of the Jewish community, and they were still part of that system of walking with God in Judaism. Amen. So this was something that all of them did, you know, as especially those who were in the ministry. They had a pattern. They had a habit. Oh, look, come on. It's the hour of prayer. Let's go up and pray together, right? And they prayed formalized prayers. I mean, they prayed out of the prophets and the Old Testament, and they had specific prayers that they prayed, right? But they were doing this every day. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, and whom they brought daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple. We have a system in this country where, you know, we have welfare programs and different things that we give to people, and it's really an amazing thing. But we're kind of a minority as far as countries go, right? And back in the day, it's like, okay, you're crippled, but you still have to do something to produce something if you want to eat something. And so he couldn't do anything else. So whoever was with him, his mom, dad, brothers, and sisters, said, all right, you're going up to the temple, and we're going to plop you down, and you're going to ask for alms. I've been in other countries, and I'm thinking of when I went to Morocco years ago. We're walking up into the city of Morocco to go shopping and all that, and here are the little kids, middle, and old ladies that are sitting there with their hand out. Why? Because they're probably widows, no husband. You know, that's the only way that they could get enough money to buy whatever food that they had for that night. That's how they live. So this man, every day, just imagine every day he was there asking for alms. Now, it's interesting because I'm pretty convinced that Jesus walked by this man. By the setting of this story, that Peter had walked by this man before. Daily, right? Daily, walked by before. But today was a different day. Watch this. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, because that's what he did. What does that mean? He was asking for money. He was asking for a gift. Give me food. Give me money. Give me a penny. Give me something. I need something. Watch this. This is so good. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Look at what he was saying. I don't have nothing for you. But I'm not in me. I'm in him. I'm in Jesus. And I just have, I have this in my spirit that he's walking in like he normally does, and the Holy Spirit got his attention and said, look at that one. Look at that one. And when he fixed, the eye contact came out of his spirit. Out of his spirit, he said, there's something different about today. And the Holy Spirit said, say to him this. And when I say that, I'm not saying like he heard this outside voice. These words came up in his spirit. And that's how it happens with us a lot of times. It's not like when you get a word of knowledge that you're hearing this big voice on the outside, thus saith the Lord God. You know, what you hear is something coming out up to your mind that you wouldn't normally say, or a thought that comes and you say, I need to pray for you. Right? So what is that? That's the Holy Spirit living on the inside of Peter and John. That was allowed to happen because they became born again and received a new heart. Man. When Jesus paid the price for their sins, and they were identified with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. They received that, but so did you. Man. So did I.
That's right.
I can live my life oblivious to the reality of my identification in Jesus. Or I can begin to meditate on it and begin to live my life out of the possibilities that can come my way, because God is not only with me, he's in me. I actually have the favor of God. Because I'm following his ways and I'm following after Jesus, I have the favor of God. What does that mean? Think about, have you ever been to a play or show and they shut off all the lights and there's a couple of characters up on stage and they got a spotlight and that spotlight follows them wherever they go? That's the favor of God. On you. That's the glory of God on you. That's the glory of God on Peter and James. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. When is the last time we truly began to absorb this and began to look at other people in a different way, with looking for opportunities to God use us to bless them, but not from the standpoint of I've got to produce something in order for that to happen, but because of my identification with Jesus, I have an expectation that that will happen. Whew, glory to God. In Him. I'm in Him. And again, all of the in Him scriptures, and I've studied those and I've memorized them. I've talked about them. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My God shall supply all my needs. You know, all of the scriptures, and there's a lot of them, and it's great to underline them. But when you're doing it from a religious trying to make something work out of the Bible, it's you're not quite there. You're not quite where you need to be. But when you begin to understand that Jesus is in me and I'm in Jesus, and so when I'm reading this, it's the reality of what changed when I became born again. Because I'm in Him and He's in me. Silver and gold have I none. I don't have the ability to do anything for you from a supernatural standpoint on my own. But brothers and sisters, I'm not on my own.
That's
right. Yeah. So it becomes an expectation of who's in me. And the more that I meditate on that, everything that I do in His name,
yeah,
He's with me doing it. The Bible says that we've received an unction or an anointing from the Holy One. What does that mean? I have an anointing, a touch from God, the favor of God upon me. What for? To do what He's called me to do, period. And what He's called me to do, and what He's called all of us who are listening to do, is to be a blessing to somebody else. And it's not about, well, listen, I'm going to do this and God will do that, and so I'll get a title and then I'll be famous and I'll, you know, and if God did that, that's awesome, but the reality is that's not what we want. What we want, and this is remarkable to me. There are many places in the Gospels where it says that, you know, Jesus was doing miracles. People were being, you know, fed 5,000, lame walk, deaf hear, blind see. All of those things were happening. And the verse that really gets to me is that, and they went away glorifying God.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus was God. Don't get me wrong, but they didn't go away glorifying the man who performed the miracle, because somehow Jesus always ascribed the glory back to the one, right? And so they went away glorifying God. If that's our attitude, if we're living our life, Lord, just use me, but before anything happens, I'm going to give you the glory. I count it privilege to walk in the anointing. Now, again, what I'm talking about is beginning to become more and more and more confident in this lifestyle.
Yeah.
And just let me give you a couple of examples from my own life, because I can't give them out of your life because I don't know your life. But watch this. I first got saved. And when I got saved, many of you have heard this story, but when I first got saved, I was just so empowered and you know, just the Spirit of God was just so strong on the inside of me. And I've been saved for a couple of months, and I wasn't really in a church at that point. We're going to Bible studies everywhere. And the leader of those Bible studies says, well, you're teaching on Wednesday night. 3 months, 2 or 3 months I've been saved. And I'm teaching. I mean, at that point, And I think Janine will remember this, but I had a Dakes Bible, but it was a hardcover Bible, so it was just the New Testament. It was about this big, and it weighed a lot, but they were awesome, right? So I didn't have the Old Testament. I just had the New Testament. But if I wanted to find out where the book of Colossians was, I had to go to the index and flip back to find it because I didn't know, and I didn't have the cheater tabs, right? The long story short, but when he asked me that, I had read, because I'd read the Gospels, I'd read somewhere where Jesus said this, don't worry about what you're going to say. And he was talking about them going before kings and magistrates and lawyers, and they were just simple people. Don't worry about that, because in the self-same hour, the Holy Spirit will give you what you should say. I don't recommend this particular method of putting somebody into teaching. However, by faith, I trusted that if I went and taught, the Holy Spirit would give me the words. And so what I did was, is I would go like 15 minutes before, I'd sit outside of the house where I was going to be doing this Bible study, and I'd pray in the Spirit for 15 minutes. Yeah. And then I'd go in with a big green Dakes Bible. I'd go like this. And I'd say, well, open it to Romans chapter 5. I'd never read Romans chapter 5 before in my life. Again, I do not recommend this. However, the Holy Spirit took my faith and spoke into the lives of the people that were there. And I'm telling you, there was people that were born again. There was people who were filled with the Spirit. There were people who grew in their love for Jesus. Why? Because silver and gold have I none. But what I have in the name of Jesus Christ, I give unto you. And it's the anointing. It's the anointing. It's the, and you have it.
Yeah.
It's not something, well, if I pray enough, if I fast enough, if I just get the feelings, goosebumps. If I have goosebumps, I'll know that I'm anointed. No, yeah. I'm anointed because the Holy One lives on the inside of me.
Yeah.
I was going to Bible school, to Rhema Bible Training Center. Called Rhema Bible Training College now, but anyway, I was going to school there, and I was going to a church, Grace Fellowship, and, you know, I wanted to serve, so I would volunteer to do anything they wanted. So the first job I had was a parking lot attendant. That is a thankless job. Yeah, parking cars, because in the summer, it's 100 degrees, and you're out there, you know. And people are not always happy with you, you know. And then the rains come. But I said, Lord, I'm volunteering to do this, but I'm believing you for the anointing to do this. I didn't understand exactly the way I understand it tonight, but what I was saying is, Jesus, my identification with you, I'm going to do it based on that.
Amen.
And so I would pray over every car that came in. I would pray that God would use that service to touch them over and over again. And so later I was upgraded to being an usher. And this was a larger church. And so it had sections. It probably had 5 sections across and 2 or 3 sections deep. So it was a large church, but I had a section. So say this was my section right here. I'd get to church at least a half hour before church. And I'd have my little coat on and everything that was supposed to, usher badge. And I would go through, they had pews. I would go through the pews. No, I think they had chairs. And I would go through every one. And I'd touch them. And I'd say, Father, in the name of Jesus, whoever's going to sit in this chair, I'm just believing you for everything that you have for them. Now watch this. When I first started, I was in the way back in the corner. You know, the last ones to get full. But before I left that church a year and a half later, my position was right here. Because my believing God and that anointing gave me favor and brought me up to where I had more responsibility. But I didn't get that promotion because of me. I got it because I identified with the Holy Spirit's power working through me to touch people.
Amen. That's good.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is we have to become aware of who Jesus is in us. And go to verse 16. Oh, I'm preaching me. Happy? It says, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and you know. Yes, the faith which came through him has given him perfect soundness in the presence of you all. What he's saying, this wasn't us, but this was Jesus in us. Now, I'm not exactly sure how this works, but watch this. Jesus said this. He said, I only do the things that my Father tells me to do. That's an incredible statement. That means everything that he did, he had instructions from the Father. And then he said, I only say the words that the Father gave me to say. Well, I want to tell you that you have positionally the same place in God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
In other words, you can hear his voice.
Amen.
He said, my sheep know my voice, and a voice of a stranger they'll not follow. Right? And he said that if you're a child of God, you hear the voice of God.
Amen.
So we hear that voice, but we're not aware of it because we don't recognize or live our lives like we're really in that close of a relationship. But what if we started to become more aware of that? What if we started to absolutely begin to depend on that and think about that, so that when I'm waking up and I don't feel like getting up, the first thought that I have is, Lord, you're in me.
Amen.
And I'm in you. And so this day, and you know, I've got the kids are messing up, and my job is not working out exactly right, and I'm not. But wait a minute. Forget all that for just a minute. I only do the things that you tell me to do, and I'm only going to say what you tell me to say. But I'm going to live my life today with an expectation that you're in me, and that your spotlight is on me. Should we do that on Sunday?
Yeah.
Or should we do that on Monday?
Amen.
How about just Wednesday night? I'm here, you know, the anointing. I just, no. That's the way we do it. We go, Lord, anoint me for Sunday. Anoint me for Sunday. And I get that. And there's power in that. And I love the anointing. In fact, I was praying for Janine earlier because she asked for prayer. Man, I felt the anointing. It was awesome, right? I love that. But I'm not sure, I am sure, I haven't lived my life out with an expectation that that's with me 24/7.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. I don't have to pray it up, although prayer is good.
Right.
I don't have to work it up. I don't have to feel it. But I can trust God that
Amen.
It's there. I can trust God. I've got a lot of scriptures to get to, but I've got to tell you another story. My sister called me, and her friend Kathy's mom was in the hospital, and she was going to die because she had received a heart transplant or some other operations, but they'd done as much as they could, and the one that she had or whatever, it wasn't working, and so she was going to die. Bruce, would you come? Sure. So I'm traveling to Tacoma General, and I hadn't met Kathy's mom before, but I'm traveling up there, and I'm going, Holy Spirit, listen to this. Holy Spirit, I'm going up there, but I'm going up there as your representative because I'm your servant.
That's right.
And I'm not demanding that you do something, but I'm anticipating you're with me. So you'll speak to me and you'll show me what to do. So we're getting there, and when we got up there, my sister, a couple of sisters were out in the hall, and so some other people were out in the hall because they were changing her, cleaning her, doing something, and you know. So we were out there in 5 minutes, and they were all yakking, and I just pulled myself away just a little bit, and I just began to pray in the Holy Spirit under my breath. Why? Because that's the communion that I want in this situation, right? And so I'm going in there. We had the pleasantries of, you know, this is proof, blah, 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 and this is this, and this is that, you know. And finally, when I say this, I was on. It was my turn. So I went up to Kathy's mom's bed, and she was lying in the bed. And I just took her hand, and I just started talking to her, but not talking to her out of Bruce. Right. Talking to her out of the relationship or the identification of Bruce in Jesus and Jesus in Bruce. I'm telling you, the presence of God fell in the room. And I was the only one in the room that was familiar with it. And one of their friends, there was a Mormon from another state, and you know, a lovely lady, all that. But I just began to speak, and I'm telling you, I felt it then, but the anointing was so strong, and I was speaking words that were coming out of my mouth and literally going into her. What was I doing? Silver and gold have I none. Amen. But such as I have, right, I'm giving to you. And I mean, it was just miraculous. And she was at peace. She knew it was going to go. She was going to home, be with the Lord. That was already settled. That was a done deal. But the peace that came to her. And so I left, and I was talking with my sister a day or two later, and she said, that was pretty powerful. She said, we could feel the presence of God in the room. And she said, in fact, the Mormon lady said, did you feel that? Did you sense that? Yeah. It's not that I did it on my own, but it was through faith. Watch this. It was through faith in that name. Amen. But not just faith in the name of Jesus, but faith in the access that He gave to me. Amen. As a believer. Amen. All right, go to Mark chapter 16. Gospel of Mark in the 16th chapter, and we're going to start in the 15th verse. And he said to them, Jesus talking, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now watch this. And do the best you can. You know, I know you'll struggle. I know you'll blow it. I know, you know, I wish I could go because I'd get it right. But no, no. He didn't say that. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, we're in part of the world tonight. Amen. You're going to go to work tomorrow in part of the world. That's right. You're going to go home tonight in part of the world. But go into all the world. So you're in the location that you need to be for this to be in action. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. Janine got the privilege of preaching to her brother who has had a form of godliness and familiar with all the Christianese and terms, been around him for years, just spent a week in Hawaii with him. But she was privileged because the Holy Spirit drew Steve to himself and they called Janine because they needed some information. But watch this. It was Janine, yes, speaking into Steve, but it was the Jesus in Janine that God was using to speak into Steve is, what was the Priscilla's, that's a good Bible name, Priscilla's heart. And do you see what I'm saying? It's so good. It's so good. Go in and preach to every creature. And he who believes, watch it, and these signs shall follow those who believe in my name. Well, let me, I'm skipping over. Verse 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Yeah. First of all, I believed. Yeah. And I was not only baptized in Jesus, yeah. I've been baptized in water. Yeah. And on top of that, I've been baptized with the Holy Ghost. Right. Baptized in Jesus means that you're fully immersed in him. That's so good. Fully immersed in him. Mm-hmm. I'm fully immersed in him. Those who believe and are baptized will be saved, delivered, healed, set free, yeah. provided for, loved, yeah. spoken to. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. Yeah. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Yeah. It's not that, oh, bless God, I got the power now, I can go. It's no, I have him, yeah. and he goes with me wherever I go. Yeah. Are you seeing that? Yeah. It's like, yeah. oh man, when I go pray for somebody, I'm praying in the name of Jesus, but I'm praying with my identification with that name.
Amen. That's right.
I'm in him and he's in me. Now watch this. This is, and I'm going to correlate this, and you go, where are you going with this? But I've had a few instances in my life where there's been severe demonic activity when I'm praying for somebody. I've seen them in Africa. We saw a lady that prayed for her. God was healing her, and she started slithering as a snake. But we cast that out and dealt with that. I was dealing with this one lady, and a friend of mine. We got her husband filled with the Holy Ghost. He got his prayer language. He said, well, I want to be blessed, you know, pray for me. She'd already received her prayer language. Pray for me. The kids, they were small, and they were in bed at that time. And so we're praying, and I'm praying for her. And all of a sudden, the eyes in her head rolled to the back of her head, and a man's voice came out of her. She was saved. She was filled with the Holy Ghost. But there was an influence in her that was still residing. I'm not saying in her spirit, but in her soul. Yeah. Right? I can't understand all that, but watch this. Because of something that she had identified with earlier, it was still there. But it took possession of her and began to speak through her. Mm-hmm. I don't have to come out. You don't have, you know, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, we got her set free because we were using the name of Jesus, and that demon had to go, right? Had to flee.
Amen.
But here's what I'm saying. That's a counterfeit. Demon possession is a counterfeit to what God wants to do with his children.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying he wants to get in you and then control every little thing. But he wants you to identify with him so that when he speaks to you, he can speak through you. Where the demons wanted to curse, he wants to bless. Where the demons want to put in bondage, he wants to bring to salvation. Can I preach the gospel? Absolutely you can. Absolutely. Yeah, but what do I say? Well, study the Bible and do all of that, but don't worry about what you're going to say. Trust the Holy Spirit will give you the words. And then don't worry about the results. And don't try to judge whether anything happened by what the response of the person gave you. Why? Because Paul said it this way. He said, some water, or some sow the seed, some water, and some get the increase. But the Holy Spirit is in the sowing of the seed, He's in the watering, and He's in the increase. So my job is just to be available and recognize that I'm in Jesus and Jesus is in me.
That's right.
And so tomorrow, wherever I go, whether it's the office to prayer meeting, if I go golfing, if I go, you know, the store, if I go anywhere, I'm identifying my life with Him.
That's right.
And you know this verse, but think of it in the light of what I'm saying. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. That's my identity. Nevertheless, I live. I'm still, my heart's still pumping. I still have air in my lungs, and I'm still walking and talking and doing all the things that I'm doing. But nevertheless, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. But because when I was saved, I was baptized in Him. When I died with Him, buried with Him, and raised with Him, I am now living life through faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. In Jesus. I'm in Jesus. And Jesus is in me. So good. Go with me to John chapter 17. And I've been reading these scriptures, well, you know, for a long time. A long, long time. But you know, you can read scriptures over and over and over, and there's more in them. But in light of what I'm saying, I want to read these to you, and we're going to read a few of them. John 17, we're going to start out in verse 20. Jesus is praying for the church. He's praying for the disciples. He's praying for the followers. But watch this. I do not pray for these alone, but also those who will believe in me through their word. You know who that is? That's me. That's you. Because somebody preached the word to you. And because you believed in Him, He's prayed for you 2,000 years ago. So this is a prayer for you, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. This is not just talking about unity, kumbaya. Let's all get along. What this is saying is that we're so tight together that whatever you do, I do.
Amen.
Whatever you say, I say. That they may be one. Think about that. That God has put us in a position where that is a possibility.
Hallelujah.
You know, oh no, man, you got to be the Holy One. You've got to be a prophet, apostle. No, you just have to be a believer. That they may be one as we are one. You and me and you, and that they would be in us too. Is that awesome? And listen, and the watch this. And the glory which you gave me. Who's he praying for? Who's he praying for? Me. He's praying for you. So this is still part of the prayer over you. That the glory which you gave me, I have given them.
Yeah.
Spotlight. Spotlight. Spotlight over Mary. Spotlight over Myrna. All of us. The spotlight of His glory. What is His glory? That word is just an incredible word, and it has so much meaning, but really what it means, His glory is who He is and what emanates out of Him because of who He is. I have the glory of God in me. But God gave me the same glory as he gave to Jesus. And why? How could that be? You're not as holy as Jesus. You're not the Son of God. No, but my identification is with him. My identification is with him. I'm no longer Bruce, the son of Jack. My physical lineage is that. But when I became born again, I became Bruce, the son of God.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
The glory which you gave me, I've given them that they may be one just as we are one.
Amen.
This is too big to just... What does that mean? That means that God is saying that the same way that I communicated with Jesus on the earth, I want to communicate with you. The same way that Jesus lived his life out on the earth, you have the possibility to do the same thing. And through that possibility and through that, you'll know where to go, you'll know what to do, and you'll begin to do it because he told you to do it. And he'll supernaturally use us to touch somebody else. And we cannot necessarily try to figure out our value based on the evidence that we see and the effect that we're having. What do I mean by that? I mean that if you hear somebody's testimony, it seems like every day they're getting somebody saved or filled with the Holy Ghost. Or I mean, it's like, God, they're going to have some place right next to Jesus. I mean, the apostles, and then they'll probably be 15 or 16 down there. But who am I? I'm not doing any of that. I don't have that testimony. God placed all of us in the body for function.
Amen.
Right? And as long as we're doing what we know to do and trusting that God will speak to us, then we can be settled in the fact that I'm in him and he's in me and I'm doing what he's asked me to do.
Yeah.
I've got to hurry, but I don't want to. And again, it's like, and again, this is exciting. We're going to have a celebration at the first of the year for our 30th anniversary for our New Beginning Family Christian Center. And that's awesome. But I know other pastors who've been in ministry for that long, and some a lot shorter. And they have churches that, you know, hundreds. And so in the flesh you can get it, well, I guess I haven't done very much for God, right? I haven't done very much for God. But what am I doing? I'm comparing myself with somebody else. And that's never good. Why? Because you'll never get to where you perceive them to be, because they're not where you perceive them to be. But the reality is I'm doing what I felt God called me to do. Back in 1995. And you say, well, have you ever thought of quitting? A few times. Well, why haven't you done something else? Because the last time God spoke to me was to pastor this church. And he hasn't told me anything else. So I'm going to continue pastoring this church. And what a privilege it is to me that you're here tonight. That I am being used of God even tonight by the anointing, by Jesus being in me, speaking into your hearts. Wow. 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 There are two different sets of missionaries. One missionary, you know, they come back on furlough and they say, well, you know, we've been in Africa and we're seeing all these miracles and we're seeing all of this, you know, all of this happen, and people are coming by the hundreds and getting saved and getting saved and getting saved. And you know, but 20 years later, the places that they went, you'd have to go back and re-evangelize them because... I don't know if it didn't stick or whatever. But they had these great testimonies. And God was with them. And God moved among them. And then this other couple, they were sent to South Sea Islands. And They were with this one tribe, and they were in the same tribe for like 30 years in this one village, and, you know, helping them, you know, get the language, translate the Bible into that language. But all this time, and they're about a week before they're going home, and one person gave their heart to Jesus. Think about that. 30 years, one person. You think that's not very fruitful? Well, watch this. That person who got saved happened to be the chief's son. And because he got saved and they discipled him, he led the rest of his tribe to Jesus. They began to read the Word of God and began to demonstrate the Word of God through reading the Word of God to where their whole community was transformed by this one. So the fruit remained.
Amen.
All I'm saying is we can't judge ourselves by ourselves or by somebody else. What we have to judge ourselves by is, Jesus, what did you ask me to do today?
Amen.
Did I do it? And if I did it and there was glory out of it, you get all the glory because it was in you and it's in me.
Yeah.
And you know these verses, and I'm going to have to stop, but read through 26 when you get home. Just start meditating. Jesus prayed this for you, so you ought to know what he prayed.
Amen.
You ought to think about what he prayed for you, but watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, you all know this. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. What does that mean? Because of my identification with Jesus, my heart became new, and I've been now made into a dwelling place of the Most High God. You know, when Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled.
That's right.
You believe in God, believe us also. In my Father's house are many mansions.
Yeah.
And I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And there's some validity to this, talking about when you die, you go to heaven. But I think there's an application where what I'm going to do is going to give your heart the capacity for God to dwell in you.
Thank you, Lord.
In my house are many dwelling places. There's many hearts.
Hallelujah.
I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. But when you come, I'm going to come dwell in you. I'll be your God. You'll be my kids. I'm in Jesus, and Jesus is in me. And then verse 21 of that same chapter, it says, for he who knew no sin became identified with me, a sinner. His identity changed and he took on my identity. And so I was in him and all of my sins on the cross. He who knows sin became sin, or a sin offering, that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm in Jesus. My identification with Jesus. And because of that identification, my right standing with God is his right standing with God. Are you in Jesus tonight?
Yes.
Watching online, are you in Jesus tonight? Begin to meditate on that and begin to live your life like that is absolutely the case. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. God, just bless everybody who's watching. Father, we're praying over people tonight that need our prayers, God, and we just pray for your Spirit to be upon them, strengthen them, give them guidance, Father God. We thank you for everything.